All say amen. Mother's Day 2025. Can you believe it's 2025? This side doesn't even know what year it is. You know, I'm going to talk this morning about what God wants every mother to know. I should put it this way, what God wants every mother to know and believe. Amen? And that not just moms, but every Christian that's listening this morning as well. It's interesting that, you know, Mother's Day was set aside in about, 1914. It was recognized as an official day to honor mothers. President Woodrow Wilson, I believe it was. And, you know, it's interesting that it was 1914. And, you know, God goes all the way back 1,500 years before the birth of Christ through the fifth commandment, amen, with Moses. And he penned it, and America needed to catch up, let's put it that way. So with all that being said, you know, we're to honor our mothers, but God says this about them. He says it's much more the gift that he wants you to give, me to give, is much more than, okay, today I'm going to give you a rose, and there's nothing wrong with that, or I'm going to buy you a brand new Cadillac, which would really be cool, or, you know, we're going to take you to dinner, you know, maybe Taco Bell if you're lucky, you know what I'm saying, and or we're going to give you a nice gift, maybe a new lawnmower, you know. And so God says, oh, no, it's much more than that. So let me read the scripture that God penned by Moses 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ in Exodus 20:12, when he says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. So that's the commandment with the first promise, isn't it? And of course, the land that God was giving the children of Israel was the land of Canaan. It wasn't long, though, after that, after the commandment, one of the Ten Commandments there about honoring your mom and dad, was given, that later on Moses penned something else in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. Let me read that to you. For everyone who curses his father and mother shall be put to death. Now, that was encouraging, wasn't it? And then it was just a little bit later on in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses again says in Deuteronomy 27:16, he says, cursed be anyone who dishonors his father, who dishonors his mother. And then he says, and all the people shall say amen. You ready? Everybody say amen. Amen. That's a good word. And then Solomon gets into the picture much, much later on, and he pins this in Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father and his mother, his lamp shall be put out in darkness. Thus, did you have that on your refrigerator? Your parents, every time the kids got it, you know, they open that. And this, a little later, Solomon penned something else in Proverbs 30, verse 17. He says, the eye that mocks his father and scorns disobedience or scorns obedience to his mother, listen carefully now, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Now, Becky and I, when Thomas was just a little boy, you know how you have scriptures all over the house? We had that one in his bedroom, and it glowed in the dark at night. You follow me? That's a good thing for you to do, guys. I mean, if you want to do that. So, but let me say this about this morning, about what God wants every mother to know and believe, and all of us as well. You know, when we say honor your mother, you know that's much more than obedience, don't you? Amen? Yeah, that's deeper than that. When it says to honor your mother, the word, we get our English word, actually, ornament from that word, honor. It means to treat the mother as someone as precious or to treat her as a treasure. And mothers are a treasure. Amen? And that's a very important thing to remember. You know, when I was growing up, as many of you know, I did not have a family. I had a mother and a father, but it didn't work. I don't know what happened. But make a long story short, you know, I envied, as a little boy, I envied other children who had parents, moms and dad, who loved them. I mean, I really did. I envied them. And the rich ones I would make friends with, so I could go home and have dinner at their house. honest to God, because there was no dinner at my house. Do you understand? And so I did those things. But you know what? I don't believe, and I say this with I was a kid. I didn't know God. But I don't believe I ever honored my mother. I don't think I probably ever honored my dad. But I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Amen? You know, it was 62 years ago tomorrow, which would be May 12th. That was Mother's Day 62 years ago. That my mother passed, departed this life at 49 years of age. So mothers are important, you know. So when God talks about in his word about what he wants every mom to know, not from the time of Israel all the way till this very moment, he wants you to know this about motherhood. It is one of the most highest callings in all of the world. Amen. I mean, it's important. Think about that. I mean, you know, moms, think about this. Who is the first one, well, after the doctor, who's the first one to hold the baby? Mothers. Who's the first one to feed the baby? The dad? No. Who's the first one to change the baby, bathe the baby? Who's the first one to hear the words come out of the baby's mouth and they go, Daddy? It's amazing, isn't it? Yet they do everything for us. So, but this is what God wants every mother to know, every father to know, every Christian to know about their children, okay? Very important. Psalm 127:3, behold, that's an important word. Behold means to get so close you're not straining to see, okay? And it means to almost keep in guard. So the scripture says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. That's an important verse. It means that children are a gift of God to you. Isn't that amazing? He says, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, meaning a reward from God, not an inconvenience. And really, loved one, now listen, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but children, they're not your achievement. That's God's. Amen? Amen. And so children are not only God's gift, they're God's reward to you. And I think it's important, how are you unwrapping God's gift to you in this life? How are you taking that child and raising that child? And I mean, you know, children can drive you crazy. I know that, right? No. Yeah, but you know, God didn't give them to you so to drive you crazy. He didn't give them to you so you'd have I have a headache, I can't take it. You know, have you ever read on the aspirin bottle what it says? Stay away from children. You know, so we know that we have to be very careful. And then the psalmist goes on and he says in Psalm 127:4 about children, he says, like the arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children's of one's youth, when you, mom and dad, are young. And happy is the man who has his quiver, the quiver fills with the arrows, his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. So God says, you know, the children that I gifted to you and rewarded you with, they are like warriors. And you're to do something. You're to raise them as defenders of the truth of God's word. Amen? You're to raise them up. So you know what an unshakable parent does? An unshakable parent, one who knows God's word, believes God's word, acts on God's word. An unshakable mother, father, they raise unshakable children. Amen? And they do so by preparing them. And loved one, listen to me. It is a tragedy to have a child and not prepare them for what they're going to face in this life. I mean, to think that your child is born into this world, they don't know that there's an enemy out there called the wicked one that wants to kill them. Amen? Amen? They don't know any of those things. They see you. They don't know anything about the world. They have no wisdom. And if for us not to prepare our children is a grievous, grievous thing, because this world is a very dark place. And boy, you talk about the attack that's happening on our children, but not just this generation. It's in every generation. It just gets worse in each generation. Now, with all that being said, you know, it's important to prepare them. Now, not every woman is going to be a mother, okay? But every woman that is a mother, then you have a very, very serious responsibility, and that is to prepare your children. Listen, God says mothers are valuable. Your children says a mom is priceless. And you know what? Never, ever, ever sell out your calling, because it's the highest calling in this land. So what God wants every mother to know, to believe, are we in Genesis chapter 2 now? If you'll turn there with me, Genesis chapter 2. And let's go ahead and just start in verse 15. It says, "Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it." Now, the word "keep" there means to guard it, meaning that obviously God had explained to Adam there's an enemy in the garden, okay? He says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die.'" Verse 18 now. It says, "And then the Lord God said, 'It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.'" Now, let me stop right there. Who created mothers? Not the world. Amen. It was God's plan. It's God's idea. Okay. So he says, "I need to make Adam. It's not good for him to be alone." And he just told us why it was not good for him to be alone. He needs that helper. He needs someone who's going to clean the house and mow the yard and cook his meals and baby him and satisfy his every need. Who said, "Preach it, Bill, preach it"? No. Helper is a beautiful word, because helper is a divine word. It is a divine function. It doesn't speak of worth. It's not a demeaning word. It's a glorious heavenly word. And that word in Hebrew is a zeal. And it literally is a God-like function. Helper is a God-like function. Let me give you the scripture. Psalm 54:4, "Behold, God is my zeal," or my helper. Is the Holy Spirit called our helper? Okay, so this is a divine function. And whenever you marry men, and let me tell you something, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs, 18:22, it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." Amen? Amen? Because that means you're looking for what God wants you to have. And then it says, "And you obtain favor from the Lord." Now look at verse 19. "Now out of the ground the Lord God did something." Watch. "He formed," or literally he had formed, "every beast of the field, every bird of the air. He brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." Now in that, you know what God's doing? We know the story. God is so tender here. See, listen, and you look at it. He wanted Adam to do something. He wanted Adam to discover that he was lonely. Does that make sense? He was alone. So here's what happened. Verse 20. "So Adam gave or called names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field." He didn't name any fish, no flipper, nothing like that. "But Adam, there was not found a helper," watch this, "comparable to him." Can you imagine what that must have been like? God bringing the animals to Adam, our Father in heaven bringing the animals by him. Do you remember that great spiritual, great hymn writer, you know, who wrote about this, you know, Bob Dylan? You remember, he said, you know, remember that song, "Man gave names to all the animals"? Remember that? Never, man. Let me just read it. He says, "Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning. Long time ago, he saw an animal leaving a muddy trail, real dirty face and a curly tail. He wasn't too small and he wasn't too big. Ah, I think I'll call him a pig." You got don't like Bob? That's a Christian album, loved one. Man, listen. So Adam, now listen, he's realizing that everything in creation, they have somebody. But he doesn't have anyone comparable to him. So what does God do? Look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep, you know, put him out, to fall on Adam. Adam slept. And God took how many of his ribs? One. Where is a rib located? Sometimes I wonder about you. It's the rib is here. Amen. It didn't take it out of the foot or the head from the side, okay? Closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, I love it, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made, he constructed, he designed, he built into a woman. And look what God the Father does. And God brought the woman to the man. He's giving her away, in a sense, the first woman on the planet. It's amazing, isn't it, that your women, God took one rib from Adam. That means that woman is part of man. And only Adam came from the dust, amen? Only Adam came from the dust, but only one woman came from man, and that, of course, is Eve. So the first woman was from man. 1 Timothy 2:13 says this, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve." You know, when we read here in Genesis, do you ever just wonder, you know, that God gave one verse for the creation of us, men, but six for the creation of woman. Six plus one is smart bunch, I tell you. Seven, which is God's favorite number. So it speaks of humanity in its completion, if you will. Now, look at verse 23. And Adam said, in other words, God brought Eve to him. And Adam said, he stopped in his tracks. He's coming out of his anesthesia. He's waking up. He's not dreaming. He says, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. And now he had one more person to name. And she shall be called what? Isha, woman. And because she was taken out of man. Now, when we get over to chapter 3, which we will not be doing, but over in verse 20, it says that Adam named his wife again. It says he called her Eve because she's the mother of all living. So Adam says she shall be called woman. And you know what Adam saw? He saw her not as a separate individual. He saw her as himself. Does that make sense? Because she came from Adam. They became one flesh, if you will. And when we get married, God makes us one flesh with our wives and husbands. Amen? Okay, now, so he now is going to do something. He prophesies, watch this, verse 24. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother." Did they have a father and mother? No, okay, so he's prophesying. He says, "and be glued or joined to his wife." And he says, and they, male and female, they shall become one flesh." Not me and you, you and me, one flesh. "They were both naked." In other words, they had no clothes on, no wedding dress or any of that stuff. "And the man and his wife, they were both naked, and they were not ashamed." Meaning there was a tremendous open trust between them. Now, I believe there in verse 25, which I'm not going to get into it, belongs to chapter 3, verse 1, because then the enemy, the serpent, was there, beguiled them, remember? Okay, so caused Eve to doubt and all of that. And imagine, Eve had never doubted before. It was a devil that caused her to doubt. And that brings me to this another thing, what God wants every woman to know. What every mother to know, every person to know, that we have an enemy. Amen? He is called the wicked one. So it says in 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived, okay? Adam willfully sinned in the garden. Eve gave him the fruit and he ate. Amen? Did he know not to do that? Yes, God had already commanded him not to do that, okay? So, but he willingly did that. And it says, but the woman was deceived and fell into transgression. She did not obey the Lord, so she crossed the line into an area she shouldn't have gone. Now, I said all of this to say this. Mothers, especially, well, I would say women, all women, but I'm talking about moms this morning. Mothers, I'm going to tell you, you are the devil's favorite target. Did you know that? He is so cunning. And you say, well, Bill, I don't know that I believe what you're saying. Well, let me prove it to you, okay? In the garden there, the first person that the devil or Satan attacked was a woman. Isn't that amazing? Now, not only that, the first person ever tempted on earth was a woman. The first person ever deceived on earth was a woman. The first person that Satan ever lied to on earth was a woman. The first person on earth that ever believed a lie was a woman. And you know the rest of the story, amen? And they partook of the fruit, and this is why we all die, okay? That's why the sin came into the world and so forth. But here's the problem today is that, moms, listen, Satan hasn't stopped lying. And he's still lying to women today, right? You know, you look at every generation, what he does with young girls and young boys. It gets worse and worse and worse from generation to generation. He's constantly lying, especially about motherhood. Oh, listen, man, that's one of the most important callings in the world that you have. If you're a mother, that you are in an area that God says is vital, okay? Now, think about, see, remember Abraham Lincoln? Abraham Lincoln, you do remember him. Abraham Lincoln was the 16th, I think, president of the United States. His mother died when he was 9 years of age. And also, before he married the wife that he ended up with, it was amazing the things he went through in his life. Two wives before they were ever married, they died too. It devastated him. But he wrote this about his mother. Let me read it. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am. Now, remember, his mom died when she was nine. He was nine. He says, all that I am, all that I hope to be, I owe to my mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Man, his mom must have been a great mother, amen? I mean, at 9 years of age, he writes, when he's a president, he writes that. So the creator of all things, our God, he says every child needs a mother. But the problem today is that's even infiltrated into the church is that the wicked one and the world says otherwise. You know, the world will do anything today to make a mother feel like, you know what, I'm missing out on my life, especially young moms, okay? I mean, here I am, I'm strapped down with a little one. I love my child, but, you know, I'm young and I'm da-da-da-da-da, and it makes you feel like you're missing out. Your freedom is gone. You feel trapped and all those things, and that's not true. Listen, our children today, loved one, they live and grow up in a war zone. Amen? Our culture, is it groping in darkness? Is it living in darkness? Oh, listen, man, America, the land that we love, listen, has lost its moral compass. There's no doubt about it. I don't care who's in the White House. America has lost its moral compass. We are a wicked nation, loved one. We really are. You know, I've lived a long time, and I thank God for that. And I've seen the progression over the years. But never in my lifetime would I mean, when I entered the pastorate in 1984, I never thought that I would ever see the things I have seen today. I mean, all of us, I mean, on that horrible Friday, what was it, 2012, 2015, whenever it was, that was one of the darkest days in the history of America. And that's when our Supreme Court voted and legalized sex same marriage. You know what I mean? That day, the oldest institution in world history was redefined. And I said from the pulpit, I said, the box of darkness has been opened, and where it is going to lead is going to stagger all of us. Look what that has resulted in. I mean, just where we are right now. I mean, about the laws that have now been written are now trying to be even changed again. But, you know, the laws, they said, are old, and they are outdated, and they're biased, and their language is horrible. And so they start changing the laws. In other words, you don't say mom and dad, you just say parents. You don't say brothers and sisters, you just say siblings. You understand? You use pronouns, and is it wicked? Yes, I mean, gender dysphoria, all the things that children are facing today, the influencers, all the wickedness is unbelievable. The trans generation, I don't know, I would have never thought it. But with all that being said, what in the world are Christians to do, mothers to do, all of us, what are we to do? I'll tell you what we do. We're not of this world. We are to trust God who made the world. Amen? And that's so important. So what God the Father wants every mother to know and believe is that is this. Everything that you trust in this world, in this life, can let you down. Can friends let you down? Can family let you down? Can husbands let you down? Oh, that's a big one, huh? Can your children let you down? Yes. But listen, moms, now I want you to listen to me. Don't get offended. How many promises have you made to yourself, but you failed to keep? We've all done that. Amen? Come on. How many times have you let you down? That's a very important word. Listen, how many times have you trusted you and not him, and boy, you got in trouble. You did it your way. I did it my way. I didn't do it God's way, and you always get in trouble. Amen? Now, so what are, I was thinking the other day, Christians, all of you, moms, everybody, have you learned that sinners are not trustworthy? We're all saved sinners. Listen, I was at a pastor's conference one time, and they asked me at the convention to teach on 10 things every pastor should know. My 10th point was, trust no one, but love everybody. Amen? But that's the truth. Are we all fallen? Or can we sin? Okay. Listen, I'm not going to trust you. I love you. But if you let me down, it's not going to break my heart. I'm not going to fall apart because you let me down. Because my trust is in him. Amen? I love you, but my trust is in the Lord. That's why it says in Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart, God says, you're a fool. And amen to that. So mothers, listen, trust the one who will never, ever let you down, and that's Almighty God. You can trust him because he never changes. Amen? Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just think, had Eve obeyed not 100 commands, had Eve obeyed just one command. That was the only command in the garden. One command. Don't eat that tree, Eve. Don't ever eat the fruit of that tree. The day you do, you're gonna die spiritually. Amen? But just that one command, but it didn't happen. The Bible says about trust, moms, listen, in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him or her, okay, in perfect peace. Anybody need perfect peace? No, I don't mean just peace. Perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, on him. Why? Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Meaning, he never changes. He's always the same. Listen, I know that being a mom is hard work. I mean, it is hard work. You never get a break ever from being a mother. Okay, once a mom, you're always a mom. But listen, raising children, I've talked to mothers someday, and they've been talking to their little one, baby talk all day long. They just want to talk to an adult. You know what I'm saying? It's hard, the things that they do. And say, I need peace. Well, God says, okay, peace is available. And where you find it is because your mind is stayed on him and because you trust in him. Philippians 4:6, be anxious, don't be torn apart, be anxious for nothing, nothing. But by everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, the very peace of God himself that passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? He wants to do that, loved one. See, moms, you have to have faith. The Bible tells us in James 1:8, a double-minded man, a double-minded woman, a person who has two minds, is unstable in all their ways. Unstable. And you just go back and forth in your life. So we have to trust the Lord, moms. Remember what Job said in Job 42:1? Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Now, that's a great biblical view to have. Amen? There's not anything God can't do. And that's something we need to cling to. But trust is important. I love Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. And I love this part. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed yourself. God, has God ever been unfaithful? Never. Do you know he's never been unfaithful to you? You might have blamed him, but he's never been unfaithful. Feed on that faithfulness. And then it says this, it goes, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he, God, not your husband, not your, if you have a work outside the home or a vocation or not your children, God shall give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because only God knows your heart. Amen? And that's what he said he would do. Listen, every person on earth, believers or unbelievers, they will trust in someone or trust or in something, okay? And whatever a person trusts in is what they believe in. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you, in Psalm 62:8, he says, trust in him at all times, you people. All times. Not some of the time, but all the time. And you know, I have to ask myself the question, Bill, how much time have you wasted in your life serving God by not trusting him? Amen? Well, we don't want to be there. He says, pour out your heart before God, because God is a refuge for us. You know, trust in the Lord at all times. I've been there in the middle of the night when I was young, Becky was young, and you know, our little one was sick and throwing up and all that and vomiting. You know, I slept through it, but she was there. But she told me the story. I had to go to work in the morning, and she knew that. And what did she do? Was she exhausted? Yeah, I was feeling pretty good. She had to take Thomas into the doctor. Now, if that is you and say you have more than one child, can you imagine taking the sick child to the doctor and then number two is with you and then he or she has a meltdown? That makes your day, doesn't it? Yeah. Listen, no. God says, what do you do? God says, you're going through it. Pour your heart out of me. I want to hear everything that's going on, even though I know what's going on. Listen, one of the great scriptures in the New Testament that Peter penned, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care, that means whatever is tearing your life apart, your heart apart, your mind apart, all of your anxiety, your stress, casting all your care upon him once and for all. Shove it off on the Lord. He says, I want to get it off of you. He says, because I care for you. Do you know that is a command? That God loves moms, us, so much, he says, whatever is creating stress and worry and anxiety in your heart, in your home, in your life, he says, it's important to me. And I command you, don't you dare keep it. You give it to me and I will handle it for you. Amen? That's what he says to do. Y'all know this scripture by heart, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct, that's Hebrew word means to make smooth, direct your paths. So God says, you need to trust me in those, in that, just those three, two verses, emotionally and intellectually. Amen? And he says, to do those things. Now, what God really, really wants every mother to know and believe, and I don't think this is true anymore in the church, and I say it lovingly, not judgingly, is that there is only one way to raise the gift I have given unto you. Amen? God says, it's my way. It's not your way. You can buy all the children books. I mean, they come out daily, okay, on how to raise your children, how to make your children successful, whatever you want to do. And that, praise the Lord for that, okay? But if you're not doing it God's way, you're in trouble, because those books are written by humans who are mostly in trouble themselves. Amen? So, no, listen. Are you in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1? If you'll turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Now, let's look at the way God wants every mom, every dad to raise their children, because they belong to him. You're just stewards, if you will. He says, children, we like this part, children, obey your parents. That's plural. It means mother and father. Don't you wish it was just easy? I mean, just you say that to them. Hey, obey me, because God said, okay, I will. Have you ever, does that work? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. If it is, I want your help, all right? You can help me. It says, and it tells us, obey your parents in the Lord. And the reason, well, this is right. Now, there are only four verses here. Isn't it amazing that God gives only four verses for the most demanding job in the world, raising your kiddos? And it all takes place in the Christian home, not in the church, okay? That's very important that you understand those four verses. That's the context. So he says, for this is right. Now, who determines what is right? The world? Okay, self-help books? Okay, no, only God, amen? And the reason he determines what is right is because God is never wrong. And then we see that scripture again. Honor, treat as precious or as a treasure. Honor your father, your mother. That's the fifth commandment, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Did you notice, moms and dads, everybody, did you notice it didn't say, children, love your mother and father? Isn't that amazing? All children, no matter how bad their parents are or good they are, they love their mom and dad. Amen? I loved my mother and my father. I didn't even know who they were. I loved them. I was just a little boy. Children love their parents, okay? Now, but here, he says, no, you obey and honor. I wonder why God would do that. Well, because you don't have to teach your kiddos to love you. Did you ever notice that? They love you. You don't teach your child to love you. They love mommy. They love daddy. But you do have to teach your child to honor you. But to teach them to honor you doesn't mean you can force them to honor you. Amen? That's not what Scripture is teaching at all. You can't force a child to honor you. You know, to gain your child's honor, you have to do what God says in his word. And so the way to do that is that you, mama, and you, daddy, you live the Christian life in front of your children, and they will honor you. That's exactly what it says. Now, and you fathers, verse 4, and means and mothers, do not provoke your children to wrath. So that's the first word on how not to train your children. It's also a command. So in other words, it has to do with words and how you speak to your children. So fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training or discipline and admonition. That means instruction, putting something into the mind of the child, instruction of the Lord. So it all centers around Jesus. So what God wants every mother to know is that it is the greatest blessing in all of the world to be raised in a Christian home. There's not a greater, when I, you know, I that when I saw other Christians, oh, never mind, you don't want to hear about that. What a blessing to grow up in a home that loves Jesus Christ. Amen? No, I mean a home that worships the Lord and loves the Lord, where the Bible is not read, the Bible is believed, where kids see real parents facing real problems, but they go to the real God who helps them. Amen? That's what we're to do. It's not that, you know, you can't just, well, I got them in church. Well, you can't abdicate that to the church. They're only here an hour or two a week, man. No, they see you. You are their role model. If when our kids, they come to church here and they learn to read God's word and pray and to love mom and daddy, but and they go home and they don't see that modeled in the house, they're going, well, it doesn't make sense. They get confused. They're just little. Why do we go to church and we do that here, but we never do it at home? You see, the home life is a powerful life. Amen? Oh, and loved one, that is so, so important. And listen to me, it takes time. It takes time to invest in your children. I mean, it, over year after year, day after day. You know, moms, you have a vocation. I don't fault you for that. It takes a lot of money to live today. Amen? But some moms say, I'm staying home. But when Becky, whenever Thomas was born, she had worked all of her life. And when Thomas was born, she said, I'm going to ask the Lord that I don't have to work outside the home again. She didn't until he graduated high school. God provided every need. I didn't say it was a lot, but he provided. I didn't say that we didn't do without, but he provided. Amen? The moment he graduated from high school, she went back to work. Now, with all that being said, loved one, you know, that's not to put guilt on anyone. You have to do what you have to do to survive today, and God knows that, okay? But listen, it's important here that we raise our children the right way, because you are the role model in your home, and that means that you are the best teacher. If you want selfish kids, be selfish in the home. If you want lazy kids, be lazy in the home, okay? If you want Christian kids, live like Christ before them. Now, let me say this. It's moms and dads, and I'm speaking to Mother's Day, it's Mother's Day. You don't tell when your little one starts reading, you know, you buy them the little baby Bible books and all that. You don't say, go read your Bible. You teach them how to read the Bible. Amen? You're teaching them. Thomas and I, we would lay in bed at nighttime, and he had his little baby Bible, and I had my adult Bible, you know. And I should have probably been reading the baby Bible. But anyway, and we would read together, you know, and we would go over what we were reading. So you don't tell your child, okay, go pray now. No, you say, let me show you. Let's go pray together. And that's how you teach them. You're modeling prayer. You're modeling studying the Word of God. And you tell them that, you know, the Word of God, that is our authority in our home, in our church, in our land. The Word of God is our authority, not our schools, not your best friends, not our government. Amen? Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God is our authority, loved one. When you give thanks at the dinner table, the breakfast table, and you hold your hands and you pray over the food, are you training your kids? Yeah. I saw a little video the other day of Willa and Kaylee and the dishwasher. And so Kaylee's up here, and where the drawer, where the silverware goes, and Willa is down here with the dishwasher thing open, you know, where all the silverware is. And she would take one out and hand it to her, one out and hand it to her. What is that? You see how that's teaching, how that's training? Amen? Then she slapped Thomas, and then Willa went, no. And then Willa slapped him. No, I'm teasing. No. No, it's so important, guys. I mean, that's what we do. We teach them that way. And so, you know, when they're taught to love Jesus, I mean, because they see you love Jesus. We need to protect our kids. I don't need to tell you about the internet, do I? You know, I don't need to tell you that the iPhone is one of the most wicked things in the world. You know, can I say something? And I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just saying what I feel. No, I tell you what I believe. It's wrong to give an iPhone to your children to be a babysitter. Do you understand? No, they need to grow up. They need to connect. They need to be outside. They need to take their shoes off and get their feet dirty and filthy. Amen? They need to be a kid. You know, they don't need to be glued to this, because sooner or later, someone's going to start talking to them. Sooner or later, they're going to see what they should not, what you don't want them to see. Amen? Same thing, it goes on the TV in the house and so forth. You need to protect your children. Listen to me now. You prepare your children now, so when they grow up, they can prepare their children, because you taught them. You follow me? Because when your kids grow up and they get married and they have children, their children are going to grow up in a generation worse than this one. You follow me? Man, it's so important. And a mom's impact, a godly mother. A godly mother represents the heart of Jesus Christ to their children. It's a legacy. You know, I was reading a book by Jackie Hill Berry, which was called Holier Than Thou. And she dedicates the book to her children. Let me just read that one part that she writes to her three little ones. She says, This work wasn't written for you. It was written around you. While you played, I studied and thought deeply about the nature of God. And while you were away at school in your rooms, I wrote as much of it as I could. And at times you interrupted me with the want to tell me something or show me something. And whatever you did, I thought to myself, this is holy too. This is childlike purity in the way you look at me for most things. Now listen to what she says now. I pray that what is written in this book next is what you have seen me obey, so that when each of you is old enough to read Mommy's words and understand the holy God it explains, that if you and when you make the decision to be like Mommy, my example actually means you will be more like God. What a great word, amen, from the heart of a mother. Now, I know that moms listen, and so all of us. Some of you are going, you know, Bill, I know that you're right, but, you know, it seems like it's so impossible. Life is so difficult. Motherhood is so hard. Finances and this and trying to just keep it going and make my husband happy or whatever's going on in the house, all those things. Listen, you know what God wants every mother to know, every single mother to know, every Christian to know? He sees, he knows, and he cares. Moms, listen to me. Maybe these words, I hope they don't, but maybe these words describe you. Let me just read them. Exhausted, frustrated, worn out, beat down, I feel all alone, things will never change, there is no help, there's no way out, no one cares. I feel like a failure as a mother, my children are out of control, my life, my home is one big storm. Now, if that's you, I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you. Matter of fact, this is for just not mothers. This is for every believer. And what I'm about to share with you, I shared with the staff, because I believe it with all my heart. I practice it with all my heart, with what I'm about to share. And here's what God wants you to do. And if you're in that kind of condition, whatever you face in life, good times or even bad times, he wants you to remove one word from your vocabulary. And that one word that I'm about to mention to you is only mentioned 9 times in the Bible. Only 9 times. It's very important. Let me just read a few scriptures to you about this one word that you need to remove from your vocabulary. Whenever the demon-possessed boy came, and he was throwing himself in the fire, the father brought him to Jesus and said, "Oh, Lord, your disciples could not cast him out." And the disciples were all upset because they couldn't do so. And they went to Jesus, "Why couldn't we cast out this demon?" and so forth. You know, Jesus said to them in Matthew 17:20, so Jesus said to them, the disciples, "Because of your unbelief." What a word. Well, he didn't mince any words. You don't believe. For I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, how big is a mustard seed? It is small, man. He says, you will say to this mountain, and he's not talking about mountains, okay? Be thou removed and cast into the sea. And listen to what he says. And nothing will be impossible for you. Impossible. That word impossible needs to be removed from your vocabulary. Amen? Let me give you another one. Whenever Jesus, about the rich young ruler, I'm sorry, my allergies are just loving me today. Pardon me. Whenever the rich young ruler came to the Lord, remember, and said, oh, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus will keep the commands. Said, oh, I've kept them all, you know. Remember, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, okay, thou likest one thing, go sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And it says that he left sorrowful. And then the Lord, you know, said, well, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples said, oh, my gosh, then who can be saved? Listen to what Jesus said from his lips, Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Say that. Not with you. With God, all things are possible. Mary, whenever the angel Gabriel came up and appeared to her, she said, listen, I've never known a man. How am I going to have a baby? You remember? And Gabriel said to her in Luke 1:37, for with God, not with you, not with me, with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen? Nothing. No, nothing will be impossible. Do you believe that? No. God is God. Oh, listen to me. God, can he lie? He cannot lie. Are his promises yes in Christ Jesus? Yes. Now listen to me. I'm going to say this tenderly to you. The word impossible in the lips of a Christian is impossible. This is never going to happen. I think it's sin. For a Christian to say, this will never work. It's not going to work. My marriage is not going to work. This is not, or my kids or whatever it is. Listen to me. Impossible from the lips of a Christian is a dirty cuss word. Dirty. Because with God, all things, mothers, all things are possible. All things are possible. I had a little boy, I'll never forget, a good-looking, blonde-headed kid getting ready to leave for college. And Becky and I, we did house churches. And they were all kids. And this kid came that night, and I preached on John 8:32, which is my life verse, that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, amen. And so I preached on that tonight. And this kid that you would have never thought was in trouble, never did anything wrong in his life, that came from one of the wealthiest families in that city, after they left, came back. He came back alone, knocked on the door. And I said, hey, man, what's going on? Can I come in, Bill? I said, yeah. He said, you said tonight about this Jesus. You said you shall know the truth. And he said, the truth will set me free? I said, yes, that's right. Jesus is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. And he reached into his pocket. I'll never forget it. He pulled out of a plastic bag. I could fill my hands with the drugs he was taking. But see, his father was a doctor. Okay? And he says, I'm addicted. I can't quit. And I said, do you believe that Jesus will set you free? He says, I believe that, but I can't. I said, with God, all things are possible. He says, what do I do? I said, you go into my restroom right there down the hall. You take all these drugs and you flush them down the toilet. You come back to me and you're going to be a free man. Ask my wife, as God is my witness. He went and flushed those down the toilet. He came back and he was totally set free Amen. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen. And that's what's important for us to know. With God, all things are possible. And we need to remove the word impossible from our vocabulary, from your home, from your thinking. Your children should not even know how to spell that word. But you know what? Come on. No, listen. Why? With God, all things are possible. You know, listen, you know what God wants every Christian, but every mother to know? Don't you know that help is on the way? Don't you know that God's manifested help is really on the way? Because with God, all things are possible. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Amen? Never. He will never do that. Listen, with God, all things are possible. I remember a dream I had all the way back in 2016. I've never forgotten it. I woke up in the middle of the night from this dream. It just was so real. And in this dream, I was dreaming, believe it or not, about mothers. And there was this mother, and there she was, and it was she was so wounded and crying, and she was in this big empty room, and there was not one thing in that room. And she was looking for provision for her children, for her family. But there was nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing there. And on her face, you saw defeat. Man, you saw desperation. You saw exhaustion. And there she was, and I was watching her, and my heart was breaking for that mother. And then all of a sudden, the wall came down in front of her, and there was a gigantic cupboard. You follow me? A cupboard? A pantry, whatever you call it today. And in it was all the supernatural provision from Almighty God. Do you understand? And you say, well, Bill, why'd you say that? Well, because the Bible says this in Psalm 81:10, I am the Lord, your God. Let me say that again. I am, mothers, listen, every Christian, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. What does Egypt stand for the Christian? The world. Did he deliver us from the world? Yes. Are we of this world? No, I am the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the world. And you know what God tells you to do? He says, open your mouth wide. Open your mouth wide. And God says, I will fill it. Mothers, listen to me. All Christians but mothers, listen to me right now. When God says, open your mouth, what does that mean? It means you pray. James 4:4, you have not because you ask not. He says, open your mouth. Boy, listen, you go and you pray, but he says to do it a specific way. I mean, open your mouth wide. Does he mean, come on? No, when he says open your mouth wide, he means this. When you pray, I know what you're going through right now. I know what you're facing. Ask me for the impossible. Amen. Are you understanding me? I can't raise it. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it, God. He says, oh, listen, you ask me for the impossible. Ephesians 3:20. Your God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all the things that we ask or think according to the power that is working in us right now. Amen? Is there anything too hard for God? With God, all things are possible. Amen? All things. It doesn't matter what it is. He can do anything. Anything. There's nothing that God can't do. With God, all things are possible. And what did he say? Open your mouth wide. And then he makes a promise. Do you believe in the promises of God? Yes. He says, and I will fill it. I'll fill it. And when God fills up something, it's always to overflowing. My cup runneth over. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Mothers, just I ask a question. But I include everybody. But moms, I'm speaking to you. Grandparents, I'm speaking to everybody. Are you in that position right now? Are you going, God, it's not possible. It's not possible. I know we come to church, but my husband, he's addicted. Oh, God, my children, I'm failing. I don't know what to do. If that's you, don't, please. Would you just lift your hand to heaven and say, Bill, that's me, and put it right back down. Yes, 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 yes. Lift it high, put it right back down. You're not lifting it to me. Yes, that's right. You're lifting it to God. You're lifting it to the one. Yes, he loves you. He wants that. Yes, that wants to help you right now. Father, I know that with you, all things are possible. So, Father, in Jesus' name, you saw the hands, you saw the hearts, you saw the hurts, you saw the needs. Lord, they say there's no way out, but you said with me there is a way out. Lord, in Jesus' name, they have opened their mouth wide. Lord God, would you fill it now in their lives, in their homes, in their workplaces, with their children, with whatever need that they have, finances, health, whatever it is. For with you, nothing shall be impossible. We believe it, we ask it, we receive it in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Happy